What are we starting with this week?
A Patreon.
An apology
something.
From you.
Oh. Why?
For spreading fake news.
Oh, yes.
Let's not talk about this over until we're... No, let's not talk...
Footballs are not made of pentagons, Corey.
Oh, that. Jeez Louise.
Footballs
yeah.
are made of pentagons and hexagons.
Yeah.
You spread fake yeah. news.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. What if YouTube takes down our video for misinformation?
Every hexagon has an adjacent pentagon.
Well...
it.
What is interesting is that we have given out misinformation about the mm-hmm. construction of footballs, but we've yes. given it out to many people on Spotify. Can you guess how many people on Spotify?
19,327.
Whoa. Luke, can you get any closer?
19,500.
That was closer. It's actually 20,361.
Oh my God. It goes up so quickly.
Oh no, we got to that 20K pretty quick, didn't we?
Wow. That is pretty so cool. I did not expect it to be that quick.
Why don't we try and get it to 22K next time, huh?
That's the challenge.
That is too quick.
So everyone that's listening, if you all tell a friend...
That would have overtaken YouTube if we do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then YouTube... It's a race between YouTube and Spotify right now, then.
Damn.
Subscribe on both. And everyone wins.
mainly
we
us.
Win. Yeah, we win the most.
Yeah. Well, no, we all win. Because yeah. everybody gets some lovely content. Anyway, why don't we start the show? After I ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you dress up for Halloween? Let us know what you dressed up as. Or what you're dressing up as. It's Halloween today. When this
oh,
comes out.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Cool. That's very good.
Yeah, but if you're listening, it's the day after Halloween. But you could have heard it on Halloween if you watch on YouTube. I don't know. I'm looking at the camera. They're listening. They can't see this. Shall we start the show?
No.
Let's start the show.
I apologized.
Oh. I said I'm sorry, didn't I?
Oh, no.
Maybe. But I just wanted to hear it
sorry
again.
For what?
And I refuse to apologize. Let's start the show.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Yes.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about the real Frankenstein.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
No.
As a Halloween, well, not really. A Halloween special.
It's a Halloween
Yay.
Special.
Have they done it?
Have they done what? Oh, God, no. No, not like the real... Well, we have actually had an episode kind of like that. It was the Undead Pigs one?
Yes, episode 3.
Yeah.
Undead Pork.
Yeah. Well, quite a while ago. No, this is not about the real life Frankenstein. It's about someone who is spoken about as the inspiration for Frankenstein.
Oh.
Hmm.
Also, didn't really do very much science, but I went fully into this episode and I'm going to do it anyway.
Fair
Alchemy's
enough.
A science, right?
No.
Yeah.
Specifically, no.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a science.
So, what do you all know about Frankenstein?
Mary.
Frankenstein is not actually what you think Frankenstein is. Frankenstein is the doctor, and Frankenstein's monster is the actual put together.
Someone did A-level English.
God. Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't actually.
Australian-level English.
I watched Van Helsing.
Ah.
I mean, I did know that Frankenstein was the monster and not the doctor because I've seen Young Frankenstein.
Mm.
Look, what have you watched to know that Frankenstein is the monster? No, the doctor, not the monster.
I read the book.
You read the book?
Yes.
Nerd.
Well, I didn't choose to.
Is it a book?
Oh, you read it in English?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Not in French.
No. Oh, well, you might have done.
I can't read French.
Mary Shelley was French. Do you know that?
No way.
Nah, you didn't know it because she was English.
And Mary Shelley is the least French name I've ever got.
I really hope someone didn't just stop right there and be like, oh, I've got something to do. But now I know that Mary Shelley is French.
I'm going to carry that on.
So, do you know what happens in Frankenstein? Well, you should, Luke. I wouldn't expect
no,
you
I've
to.
Got the botched Van Helsing version. Don't trust me.
Well, what happens in Van Helsing's Frankenstein?
Well, Frankenstein, as in the doctor, works for Dracula. And Dracula wants to create a monster to do something, I don't know, terrorize a town. And so Dracula solicits Frankenstein to create Frankenstein's monster, but Frankenstein's monster escapes, takes Frankenstein up a tower, which the villagers then burn because they don't like Frankenstein's monster. And then the doctor falls to his death and Frankenstein's monster goes into hiding. Yeah, and then we cut forward like 20 years into the future.
Oh, so this isn't even the, this no, is just the start
this,
of
this Van. This is the beginning 3 minutes.
That's a lot to go through in 3 minutes.
It's a lot to go through in 3 minutes. And then we pick up like years later with Van Helsing and he's hunting Dracula. And Frankenstein's monster comes back.
Good to know.
There you go.
Look, what happens in Frankenstein? And then I'll tell you what happens in Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein.
Now, I don't remember Frankenstein that well. But as far as I can remember, no. Anyway, as far as I remember, Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, puts a bunch of body parts together, sort of sews them up, and is trying to sort of breathe life into them using electricity, and successfully does this. And then Frankenstein goes out and gets attacked by everyone, and it's very Frankenstein's monster goes out and gets attacked by everyone, mm-hmm. and it's very sad because Frankenstein didn't choose to be a monster; he just is one.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, it's deep, isn't
it? Yeah.
In Alvin and the Chipmunks meet Frankenstein.
That is not a thing, is it?
Yes.
Is it actually, is it a film?
Yes. It's a great film. I've watched it. I used to rent it from Blockbuster all the time.
Oh my God.
I'm not joking. Like every week, really. So Alvin and the Chipmunks, they meet Frankenstein.
Did they?
Well, Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
And I think Alvin becomes some kind of Frankenstein's monster. Then they sing some cool songs together, and then it's all wrapped up.
Do they chop off all the limbs of all the chipmunks and then stitch them all together? And match them up to create one Frankenmunk, Munkenstein.
I feel like you don't get the vibe of Alvin and the Chipmunk, so I'm just going to move on and talk about the actual Frankenstein book.
Yeah, not familiar.
So in the book, obviously, as Luke said, there's a sort of mad scientist. He makes a monster. The monster kills him, like Jamp said. Yeah. There we go. Everyone's contributing.
Well, go
us. And obviously people think that the monster is called Frankenstein. It's actually the doctor's called Frankenstein, but actually it doesn't matter. The monster wasn't given a name in the book, so you can call him Frankenstein if you want. If you think about it, really he would be called Frankenstein because he is the creation of the doctor.
Yeah,
you could be considered. Yeah,
well, it's confusing to have two characters called Frankenstein.
No, but one's dead, so it's fine. It's only confusing for a little bit.
Yeah, they might have to reference the dead character.
Well, you say Dr. Frankenstein and then Frankenstein.
Or the doctor. Call him Doc.
Yeah.
Cool, okay.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Real easy.
Real easy, there you go.
And another name, do you know the sort of alternative name or the alternate name for...
How I something something?
You're thinking of Doctor Strange Love. Love.
Yeah, sorry.
Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. this is...
is it Frankenstein's monster?
No, so... sorry. I'm just thinking about those films being put together into one.
Totally similar, though.
Well, I think probably because...
Era in which the Frankenstein movie was made is similar to the era of that movie, probably.
I was thinking because it makes me think of Young Frankenstein, which is kind of similar tonally to...
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So... Back onto actual Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Published in 1818. Revised, I think, about 15 years later or so in the 30s, the 1830s, I should say. Victor Frankenstein, he is a Swiss sort of doctor who studies sort of like life sciences and, you know, makes a man from corpses and shoots some electricity through him. And he comes to life and everyone thinks, man, he's ugly. We hate him. And then True. They try to kill him. And he gets all sad because he sees he's ugly. And he's like, oh, I don't like me either. No. Just want someone to love.
Oh.
It's real sad.
Isn't there a spin-off where Frankenstein gets like a Mrs. Frankenstein?
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I'm going to say get laid. Yeah.
Well,
I guess so.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I mean, he's evidently, I think, do they have kids in Hotel Transylvania? No, I don't think the Franks have kids in Hotel Transylvania. But... Mm. I assume Frankenstein would get laid at some point.
Hotel Transylvania is canon, as we know.
Well, it depends if
Frankenstein canon.
Victor Frankenstein gave Frankenstein a peenie.
Well, it's
a very specific thing to have got.
Well, it's not if you've got all the other parts, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but you're just trying to see if you can breathe life into a thing. You're not trying to make something that can necessarily breed. But I suppose it might need to pass urine, so yeah.
I'll just give him one anyway. Look, if I'm chopping up corpses, there's bound to be a few spare dicks lying around, you know? One
Probably
or two.
Spare everything, really.
Yeah, you got a few, right?
Yeah.
You're not gonna, it's not like you're gonna run over. In fact, your cup runneth over with penises, surely. Right?
assuming you're chopping up male bodies, but yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna mix and match, am I?
50-50 chance.
You know.
Yeah.
So Frankenstein's made exclusively of male body parts, then?
One would assume.
But it's not. Is that stated?
I don't know if it is actually stated.
Because you could get like female kidneys and heart and all the other
female
bits.
Organs. Yeah,
just had one boob.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Your cuff clearly runneth over with boob, as Corey said.
I would put one boob on the butt because, as we all know, boob and butt are. Same thing.
Oh,
same yeah. thing.
Two different sized butt cheeks would be interesting.
Just different types of milk.
Yeah.
One chalky, oh. one
no.
Nella.
No.
I'm sorry.
So, that is kind of the story of Frankenstein. The monster is real sad and lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not lovely. Bear in mind, that was just the book, sort of the first sci-fi book, so it's relevant. It's relevant to sci guys. And then a bunch of films and all that been made. I want to tell you a little bit about alchemy before we get into talking about the real Dr. Frankenstein, who, I'm going to say this now, there's not really any evidence that he's the real Frankenstein, but everyone loves saying it, so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about him anyway. What do you guys know about alchemy?
It's like magic, isn't it?
Is it what Nicholas Flamel studies in Harry Potter?
Oh, is it the turning of metals into gold?
Yes. Well, that's all of those things are more or less correct.
In alchemy, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, one of the goals of alchemy is turning base metals into gold. So turning like lead into gold, because obviously gold, real valuable.
Yeah.
Lead. Ugh. What are you gonna do with that?
Kill yourself?
Poison some people?
Jesus.
Well, you will. Like people died from it.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah. True.
Whereas I feel like what I would rather do is just make sure that a bunch of houses and toys are painted with it and lead to brain damage in a lot of people, and specifically not update houses and whatnot in certain areas where certain groups of people live so that there's brain damage in a certain population.
Now, what kind of wacky world would we have to live in for that to happen?
No, just a silly idea.
Just a silly idea.
Just a silly one.
That was your idea?
Yeah.
It's really messed up, man.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so alchemy. It's pseudoscience, I would call it now.
Like pseudochemistry.
Yeah, and it's, you could say protochemistry, but actually we'll get to this in a sec. There's not a huge amount of evidence that alchemy was the direct predecessor to chemistry. You know, there is alchemy, and it was around for a long time, but chemistry actually came from potentially other sources. But you know, there was alchemy kind of all over the world, India, China. You've got the name alchemy come from the Latin, I think. And that was it's been around for a long, long time. It's kind of similar to chemistry. We think of it as being similar to chemistry because it works with chemicals, although they wouldn't really think of it like that. They think of things in very specific sort of interesting ways. There's a lot of we could do a whole episode on alchemy, actually, because it is really interesting. It's just not science at all whatsoever. It did help with science to an extent in that we discovered some sort of chemicals and we discovered different sort of chemicals and salts and whatnot through just mixing stuff together in alchemy. But yeah, as I've said, not really a science in and of itself.
So how is it different from chemistry?
Well, chemistry follows rules that actually work. Alchemy, the idea for alchemy is kind of around transmutation, kind of turning one thing into another thing. So turning sick people into well people, for example, turning, like, you know, metals into gold, other metals into gold, but chemically is kind of key there, because obviously we know that we can technically turn metals into gold by adding or removing protons from the nucleus, but can we
actually do it?
No, well, I mean, like, okay, in the same way that, you know, you can throw things together and they'll technically we could
in the future.
I'm not a physicist. I think we have the technology to do it right now, but I think it's so prohibitively expensive that it is not worth making gold from lead.
Just buy gold.
Just buy gold.
Yeah,
there's a lot of it.
Oh god, I've got to buy my collider. Fucking hell, how much gold is that gonna? I'm gonna have to give away all my gold just to make some more. You know, and then you got to buy the lead. It's not worth it. Just buy some gold, or take it from people.
Okay,
the old-fashioned way,
like a pirate.
Yeah.
I'm still not entirely sure how alchemy differs from chemistry.
So it is. It's kind of. It is sort of mystical. It's not necessarily, like, I don't want to get too deep into it. There are lots of different ideas going around in alchemy. Like, how do I put it? The sun and the moon come into it. It's more spiritual than chemistry, right?
Okay.
It's kind of like astrology. You know, astrology is similar to astronomy, but it isn't.
Yes.
Okay. You know, like it's in the same way that you could say that, what's that fake medicine called?
Homeopathy.
Yeah, homeopathy is like medicine.
I'm sure I upset some people there.
What? But by saying
facts.
Yeah.
Well, it might be upset by that.
Yeah.
That's they'll okay.
Cry about it.
Oh my God.
Hey, the heat's off you now. It's on me.
Yeah. No, so what homeopathy is to medicine and what astrology is to astronomy, alchemy kind of is to chemistry, really. The idea is, you know, you could make sort of the philosopher's stone as well. You could make different sort of, I think it's panacea, which is like a cure-all, a medicine that can literally cure any disease. Mm-hmm. So the idea isn't sort of like with chemistry, you would think, well, a medicine that can cure any disease wouldn't necessarily be possible because chemically you'd need something that can interact with literally every possible disease.
Yeah.
Right? So I suppose that's just poison. Oh, cures everything.
That would cure.
Cures
disease, Yeah. The disease would cease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As would you. Just the best poison in the world. So, you know, it's kind of beyond the scope of chemistry in that it uses ideas that don't really fit into this, our sort of scientific model. The Philosopher's Stone, for example, is a sort of product of alchemy. Doesn't exist, for anyone wondering. And if you're American, Sorcerer's Stone, you're wrong. Actually Philosopher's Stone.
That's true. You are wrong.
So the Philosopher's Stone is the sort of magical stone that can make, you know, the elixir of life, turn lead into gold, all of that stuff.
Is the elixir of life a thing in alchemy?
Yeah.
In real like alchemy in our world?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Real alchemy.
Well, yeah.
This is funny.
You know, the Harry Potter is actually, it's fairly decent with its alchemy. You know, it's pretty spot on. It just so happens that it's all rubbish anyway. No, but it's cool because
Sorry, do you call all fiction books rubbish?
No, alchemy is all rubbish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, not all fiction books are rubbish.
Well,
just
they are,
the Harry Potter ones.
They are all rubbish.
Rubbish.
Yeah, if you're just reading a thing saying this happened, no, it didn't.
That's a lie.
What a load of rubbish.
Petition to rename fiction to the load of rubbish section.
Yeah,
you get a book from the load of rubbish section.
Do you think it's odd that there's fiction and non-fiction? Sorry, no, non-fiction is the real stuff, and we call it not real stuff.
We call it not this, not the one we like.
But that's because fiction came first, I assume. We told stories before we told, like, facts.
Well, I don't know necessarily, you know? That's a hard one. Because the story, it's kind of difficult, because the stories could be about facts, do you know what I mean? As a way of sort of conveying the facts.
The problem
like a message, but there's messages in fiction.
As in, well, yeah, but I suppose fiction could have come first. Although, let's think of like cave paintings, right? A lot of them are representations of sort of animals and stuff. I think apparently an idea is that they might have been sort of instructions or hunt this thing, do this to kill that, you know?
That is so cool.
It's cool, right?
It's just so cool. Literally, we just lived in this giant massive multiplayer online game, and we just left little clues to each other, and we're like, someone else will find that. Yeah.
Look, I also like the idea that it's just people just painting stuff. It's just, I saw a big thing. I'm going to make that on a wall.
I think that's less fun.
I think that's way cooler.
Specifically for us.
I think that's way cooler because it means that art exists without a purpose.
Mm.
It's just, I see a thing and I'm like, I want to, humans from like the very beginning have just wanted to be like, I want to make that thing, but flat and on rock.
Yeah, but I like the idea that the humans were leaving behind tips for other humans who they didn't know, because that's like one of the most altruistic things you could do.
I think that it might not have been for leaving behind. I never thought of it that way. When I read that, I was like, oh, they were putting it up there to teach other people of their little group. But I like...
No, that's what I mean. Like, you just leave behind little tips. Like you're in like the Harry Potter PC game universe and you type Harry Super Jump and you'll go really far. And then people you don't even know are Harry Super Jumping all over the place.
It's like the internet. It's what we're doing with the internet where, you know, you go looking for tips about a game. Yeah, you're so...
That's what we're doing with this podcast.
But then you put a bunch of ads next to it, so it's not the same.
Yeah.
You don't know. Maybe there were ads on cave paintings.
I know. Mid-rolls on a cave painting.
You start...
Putting ads next to a bunch of useful information is like doing a cave painting, but then also doing something that isn't actually helpful for the person reading it, but that benefits you. And they get confused and they do all the things, and some of them benefit you and some of them genuinely benefit themselves.
Yeah. So hunt this animal, but when you hunt this animal, you absolutely have to leave half of it here.
You have to go out and
you have to leave it
Nike to the trainers. Gods.
Yeah. Otherwise you'll die. Otherwise the gods will smite you.
Yeah.
And no one wants to chance it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they would do in alchemy would be sort of mix metals. So they'd take mercury, they knew about mercury, and they would basically feed metals to mercury, trying to make new metals.
How do they get all the metals there?
By truck.
I was running through my brain thinking of what mercuries are there. okay, God, mercury. Like, okay, right. Good. Yeah. And then I was like, wait, mercury as in the delivery service? And I was like, no, that's Hermes. Same God, enough. Different names. And I was like, planet. Gotcha. There you go. There we go. Why is that the third one?
Yeah.
Actually, Earth's the third one. Anyway, mercury. You know how you can feed metals to mercury? You must have seen that video recently of mercury eating gold.
No.
So mercury is obviously a liquid. It's a liquid metal. But if you put sort of a thin sheet of gold into it, it forms a sort of amalgam. The gold just sort of, it looks kind of like the gold is dissolving into the mercury.
Right.
But kind of like it's being eaten by the mercury. So they would do stuff like that.
What happens to the gold? Does it react or does it just like...
So it's forming like an amalgam, like a sort of alloy type thing.
Oh, I see. So it does, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's not necessarily sort of reacting.
Right. But they become joined. They become one.
Yeah.
It's being digested.
Sure. So why do you call it eating mercury rather than like sexing mercury? And they become one. When two become one?
Fornicating.
That's not how sex works.
Well, that's how it works in like pop.
When you have sex with someone, you don't join up with them
forever.
No, but
forever,
you do. Apparently.
Oh no, I'm trapped inside of you. We must now walk around together.
But when you eat something, you poo most of it out. So
not necessarily.
Does mercury poo out a bit of the gold?
It depends what parts of it. Point.
Okay.
No. Anyway,
gotta go take a little mercury poo.
Jesus! It also does this to aluminium as well, which is why apparently you can't have
what a slut.
Mercury. Thermometers on planes.
It's around a bit.
Well, in case the mercury thermometer eats the plane.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Wait, no.
Make
I saw
sure
this
you feed your thermometer before you take it on a plane.
If you're watching this episode, fact check it. If you're listening as well, fact check this because I just remembered where I got that from and it was a tweet from a scientist.
Wow. Spreading fake news again, are we, Corey?
This is why we were taken off YouTube. Censored.
It's not why we were taken off YouTube. We were taken off YouTube because... anti-vaxxers ruin everything for everyone, including me now. They finally got to me. Anyway, moving on.
I think they got to you a while ago, Corey.
No, those death threats meant nothing, man. So you know, obviously I spoke about alchemy kind of being the sort of predecessor to science or to chemistry, and how that might not really be the case. So people will kind of say that, oh yeah, alchemy came before chemistry, and I kind of thought, oh yeah, alchemy was kind of, you know, the precursor to chemistry. But that's not necessarily true. When you kind of look into it, apparently medicine kind of led more into chemistry than alchemy did, which makes sense because alchemy kind of relies on these specific sort of rules that don't really apply with chemistry. What alchemy did kind of do to some extent was give you more idea, a better idea of different chemicals that exist. So they've made new salts, they discovered new sort of compounds from alchemy. Because a lot of alchemy is just heating stuff for a long time together in a sort of crucible, you know, being like, oh, well, if we heat it and cool it, then it will become something else. It's finding the exact right combination of metals and different things to turn something into gold or an elixir of life. You could melt down animal bones and leather and horns and all of this stuff.
Make Haribo.
Yeah.
Which is an elixir of life, is it not?
In that it gives you calories, I guess.
Yes, I suppose.
So every food is an elixir of life.
Except for poisonous ones.
Except for, I wouldn't call poisonous things food. I think food has to at least add something to you.
Poison is something?
No. Sure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, so that's kind of the whole sort of view of alchemy. It's not really a science. It's mostly mixing stuff, heating stuff together, metals, and I mean, obviously it could be like, you know, like I said, animal parts or whatnot to try and get to elixirs that will cure illnesses or turn things into gold or, you know, basically, if you've seen Full Metal Alchemist, it's kind of like that. The idea is to turn something into something else.
Was any of it successful in any way?
I mean, they made some stuff, but like not.
But was it, were like any of the alchemy things, did any of them cure any disease or at least help recovery from disease or...
One of the biggest achievements.
One of the things we're going to talk about today was apparently used in some ways, less in curing disease, and but we'll find out soon. We'll find out actually towards the end. Okay. So hold on to that thought. Yeah,
I got him.
Cool. So I'm going to tell you about Johann Conrad Dippel. Have you heard of him before?
No, I've not.
You've not heard of Johann Conrad Dippel?
No, surprisingly not.
Goodness me. No. So Johann Conrad Dippel was born in 1673. Apparently, in Kassel, Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's near Darmstadt in Germany.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah?
No.
You haven't been to Germany?
No.
Why would you lie?
I'm just lying.
Hey, you're spreading misinformation now.
I am, sorry.
Whoa. You're doing what Corey does.
This episode's going to get taken down.
Someone please get in the comments. Get in the comments and tell... Don't tell them to take the episode down. Someone get in the comments and correct Jamp on that mistake he just made.
Please, corrections. Jamp has not been to Germany.
To be fair, Jamp's the main source for that. So if he says he's been to Germany, who can really refute that other than like the border agencies?
His passport, surely.
His passport.
Well, no, hold on.
I have many.
No, that's not true. Passports don't remember that sort of stuff.
No,
they don't.
No.
They've got no brains to remember.
They remember if you go to Turkey, though. I went to Israel once. and I was interrogated on the border about why I'd been to Turkey because there was a stamp for Turkey in my passport. What? Why is that so funny?
They remember when you've gone to Turkey. I've been to Israel once.
I went to Turkey on holiday and then I went to Israel for like a week.
What?
And because I went to Eurovision and didn't realize it was in Israel.
Oh my God, this story. Anyway.
And they really like, they were like, why did you go to Turkey? I'm like, what? Because I went on holiday? Because it's, you know, they're worried about terrorism and stuff, apparently.
Yeah, you do have the standard profile of, you know,
terrorist.
What people think a terrorist is.
Exactly, but even if I don't, that's exactly why I would be wearing this skin.
Look, put it this
way. Sneak in and do some terror.
If we were in the US, I'd be very worried about you. You know, a lonely guy, keeps to himself.
Doesn't know where he is.
Your complexion.
Why am I lonely now?
Outcast at school.
No. The red hair symbolizes fire.
Right.
Yeah, very much the kind of guy I'd be worried about.
Yeah.
But, you know, elsewhere in the world.
Okay.
Those are more kind of domestic terrorists.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not a worldwide kind of man.
I don't know what is being said about me right now. I'm quite confused.
Nothing's about you. I'm making a comment on... modern day America. Yeah.
I would stop you at the border of Israel.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, don't go in there, buddy.
No. Not even.
And I'd be like, yeah, don't go in there. You don't want to come in. No.
I do just want to say to any of our followers who are listening in Israel that we're not making fun of the people of Israel. We do have a problem, perhaps, with some of the things that the country itself is doing. I'm just saying this.
But we also have a problem with some things our own country is doing. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So,
no.
Johann Conrad Dippel, German.
Dippel.
Is it Dippel?
Dippel.
Dippel.
Yeah, Dippel.
Dippel.
Like a dimple without the M.
Two P's. PP.
PPE. Dippel. Yes.
So, Conrad Johann Dippel.
Johann Conrad Dippel.
Johann Conrad Dippel, the German. Tell us all about that.
Like, did he have a car?
I've never met a German.
He was born in 1673, Luke.
So he didn't have a car.
Probably not. No. Why is that your first question?
It's the Grease song. Tell us more. Like, did he have a car?
Okay. Right.
Did he have a car? It's just how I just judge everyone based on whether they've got a car or not. Have you got a car?
No, I got rid of my car.
Wow.
I
care about the planet.
Yeah. Beta male behavior.
sorry, driving a hybrid is absolute beta male behavior, my friends.
Yeah. I didn't say it was a bad thing.
So, Johann Conrad Dippel, you know, he was the son of another man named Johann Dippel. different middle name.
No way.
Well, yeah, God, absolutely.
That must be confusing.
It's very confusing, especially when you're reading about them.
I know.
Because you've got to read the middle names.
It's like a Frankenstein issue all over again.
Exactly.
Which one's the real one?
Oh my God, maybe that's where Mary Shelley got it from.
Right?
From Johann Dippel and his father, Johann Dippel.
Yeah, and which one of them was a monster, but who was the true monster?
Who was it?
Is it Frankenstein?
Which one was pieced together from a bunch of body parts? We don't know.
And the thing is that Dr. Frankenstein ended up making a monster. I would say that potentially that makes Dr. Frankenstein a monster. So Dr. Frankenstein's dad, Frankenstein.
Mm.
So Dr. Frankenstein is actually dad Frankenstein's monster. So it's actually Frankenstein's monster's monster.
Frankenstein the monster.
Made a monster.
You know, I would argue that Frankenstein's monster is not even a monster himself, because what makes him monstrous? He thinks about, philosophy. He reads. He knows of Paradise Lost.
Yeah. No, he looks freaky.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Watch you dig your own grave there, my man.
I don't mean to judge.
You're right. That is why he's called a monster.
That is why he's called the monster.
Which is why Frankenstein is the true monster.
Yeah.
Because he made a man and thought, wow, he uggy. Gotta call him monster now.
He is quite an uggo.
I went on Wikipedia to read the list of names that Frankenstein called him, and they are mean. It's like wretch, devil, so many. Think of every disgusting name that existed in the 1800s.
Why can't we just get a normal name? Why can't we get like a John or something in there?
Well,
a really normal name.
Oh, what was the name? I think...
Wretch.
No, not Reg. Wretch.
Reg.
I said Wretch.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Reg.
Like,
but to be fair, monster, the definition of monster is a large, ugly, and frightening creature.
Oh.
So
you can't be
monster
offended
doesn't mean, like, the Frankenstein's monster is large, is subjectively not pretty, and subjectively frightening. So it doesn't mean, like, a monster doesn't have to not like philosophy or literature. Monster just has to be big and scary, which, you know, Frankenstein's monster kind of is big and scary.
You know, I guess you're right. I have been taken in by stereotypes. I'm sorry to all monsters everywhere.
And Dr. Frankenstein is not large, necessarily.
I think he's large in his reputation.
Ah.
Okay. All right. Well, then Donald Trump is a gigantic person.
He's also a monster.
He's large in his aspirations.
Oh,
right?
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Why was Trump was the worst example you could have chosen.
He's got a reputation. He's got a large reputation.
He's also a large man.
Yes.
He has quite tiny hands, but quite large.
Yeah. Normal size man.
Normal
hands,
size hands, yeah.
But tall.
On a tall,
body.
Gigantic
Maybe
body.
He's Frankenstein's monster. He's been made up of lots of different pieces, and the hands they used were just particularly little hands.
He does his face is so
he
orange.
Does physically appear doesn't match quite the rest. Incoherent. Yeah, like his body parts don't match each other.
Yeah, he couldn't find a whole brain. He just pieced together, like, you know, different parts of, you know, a bunch of the same parts of different brains.
Anyway, we're bullying now. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but we are bullying.
Taken down for
we're not questioning him on his actions and his views. We're just going, you look funny, which is, you know.
Which is really, you know, that's the lowest hanging fruit for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, before we get taken down for harassment and bullying.
Yeah, sure.
As well as misinformation.
So, as I've said, Johann Conrad Dippel, he was born in Germany.
He
was born in Germany.
He was born in Germany. Oh my God. Damn.
Anyway.
And then he became a man.
He transitioned.
From a country into a man.
CTM. Country.
Someone's like, Germany. And he's like, don't call me by my dead name. Sorry, Deutschland.
He was born in Germany. And he was quite a bright guy. He went to study a sort of bunch of different things. He studied at the University of, I think it's Gießland.
University of Gießland.
Gießland.
University of Gies.
Teachers are all geese. All the other students are geese. Just him.
Yeah. No. Oh, goodness me. I can't find the name of it. He studied
just made up Gießland.
University of Gies.
Gießen.
Okay.
Gießen.
German for Gießland.
No. Just
that sounds like the language geese speak. I speak Gießen.
Reckon to geese?
One word. Honk.
Honk. It means everything.
Honk.
So
many definitions.
He got interested in alchemy and he wanted to turn different different metals into gold. There was a point where he promised a bunch of people, I'll turn all this metal into gold, and then he didn't, And he owed them a lot of money.
Oh dear.
And I think he went into hiding. He did this a lot. He basically ran away from the places that he lived quite often, and which is why he moved around a bunch of different places, then ended up at Castle Frankenstein, where he was doing a bunch of weird experiments. We'll get to that in just a little bit. He had a lot of issues with the church. He would say things and they'd disagree with him, and he'd go into hiding. As I said, does this a fair amount. He's not a very agreeable guy, apparently. Which is kind of apparently where the sort of idea of him being a mad scientist came from. And I'll say this again. Despite what this episode is called, he is not the real Frankenstein. The real Frankenstein is the castle. It's not a misleading title. No. The thing is, though, people do think he is the real Frankenstein. There's just not any evidence whatsoever to support it.
Okay.
Other than the fact that he was at Castle Frankenstein, he was around sort of, I think, the same time-ish as sort of...
I think you're spreading fake news again, Corey.
No, he was around shortly before.
Look, what I'm saying is the MMR vaccine, not safe. I'm just saying there are some people who say it, but there is no evidence to support it. Here's an episode of SciGuys.
So it's not clickbait.
So the MMR vaccine, by the way, is safe.
Yes,
it's
very,
absolutely safe.
Very safe.
To clarify.
you get us, YouTube.
Some people think it's not, but that doesn't matter.
Because they're wrong.
They are wrong, and there is no evidence to support it. But lots of people say it, so we're talking about it.
Yeah, we literally did an episode on that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Until you took it down.
You can't find it.
Well, it might be up by now. Who knows? The thing is that the reason I'm talking about him is because while there isn't any evidence that he was the inspiration for Frankenstein, it is kind of an interesting story, and a lot of people think that he is the inspiration, so may as well talk about him.
Yeah.
And that leaves all the other inspirations for Frankenstein that may or may not actually be inspirations for Frankenstein for future Halloweens. Huh?
Ooh.
Yeah.
A yearly tradition.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Until we run out. At which point we will just, I don't know, start chopping up dead bodies and put them together.
Live stream it.
Yeah. Live action Frankenstein. So, as I've said, he sort of moved around a lot. He discovered, I'd say discovered... As far as I'm aware, the story was that he kind of accidentally created a new color. Or not so much a new color as a new dye. So it was Berlin blue. Have you heard of Berlin blue before?
No.
I've not. I've heard of Berlin and I've heard of blue.
Is it Berlin blue as in Berlin the place?
Mm-hmm.
Blue as in the color?
Mm. Yes.
So it is named after Berlin?
Yes.
I've heard both of those individually, but not put together.
Really?
Yeah. Why Berlin?
He was German. So he actually made the story I've heard is he made it by accident by mixing, sort of mixing up. He was working on his alchemy along with someone else that was doing their own thing. And they mixed up, apparently, their different sort of containers or whatever. And they ended up making a blue dye that was sort of a true blue, a very, very good blue. And it was used in a number of different things. It was very, very popular. It was used in the uniforms for the Prussian army, which is why you've probably not heard of Berlin blue, because it became known as Prussian blue.
Have
you heard of Prussian blue?
No.
Okay. how about I try that question again, and one of you lies so that it sounds real cool.
Okay.
So you might not have heard of it as Berlin blue, because it was used for the Prussian army.
Was it Prussian blue?
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Was it? You know about Prussian blue? Joke?
Well, I just saw it coming when he started talking about...
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard of Prussian blue, Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, you heard it from me just now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic blue,
it's
that is.
It's my favorite blue.
Yeah, it is really? My favorite blue, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, now you know the history of your favorite blue.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Why have I never looked into it? I never picked up on that.
Yeah. So, as I said, it's a blue dye. It's called Prussian blue now because it's used for the army uniforms, but it was also used in photography, blueprints, different inks.
Is it the blue for blueprints?
It was the blue for blueprints.
Oh. Yeah.
I think a cooler name is Blueprints Blue.
Blueprint Blue.
I feel like that's sort of, that feels like a circular name, doesn't it?
Everyone knows Blueprint Blue.
Though I feel like, that is quite a good blue.
Blueprint Blue. Yeah, it's a very good blue.
It's a great blue.
Yeah.
They don't make blueprints in blue all that much anymore, do you?
What do they make it in?
I mean...
Just paper.
Probably on a computer, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right?
I forgot we had those.
I don't know. If I had blueprints given to me and they weren't blue, I'd be furious.
Like, well, you've seen a...
What did I get into this industry for?
Well, what industry?
The blueprint.
The blue industry.
The blue industry.
I work exclusively in things that are blue.
I only deal in blues. Sorry.
Absolutes.
That is an indigo, okay? I'm not working with that.
No way.
No, absolutely not. So, like I said, he made that sort of blue. He also made something else called Dippel's oil. Are you looking up Prussian blue?
No. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, okay. Let's have a look at Prussian blue.
I just wanted to see it.
That's not blueprint's blue.
Oh, no, it's not. It's darker than
blueprint's blue. That
is what I imagined, though.
I think there you go. That was the initial blue for blueprints. I don't think there is one blue for blueprints. I think they're just blues.
Yeah.
No, but in all the movies I've watched, it's quite a brighter,
it's like a lighter blue.
Yeah, but I don't think they're the same blue every single time.
Well, movies of light.
Or it could be an illusion of sorts. Something making the blue look brighter.
The white?
I don't think so.
Or the light. Both of those things.
That's the blueprint's blue.
That's an optical illusion. The white is just making it look brighter.
It's closer to like Fortnite.
I'm joking.
The
that's
Fortnite
not.
Juice blue.
That's like Prussian blue.
Yeah, that's closer to Prussian blue. Yeah. I think, again, I think there is not a single blueprint's blue.
Well, there should be. Standardize it.
It should be standardized.
Why
is it not?
Why does government exist if not to standardize the blue of blueprints?
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. They work with different colors. Anyway, moving on. Dippel's oil. So,
where did he get the name from? Just curious. I want to know the history of this name now.
So I told you about alchemists melting down animal bones and hides and horns and different parts of animals to try and make different things, right?
Mm.
Well, Dippel did this. Oh. And he made this sort of concoction that he claimed could sort of keep you alive forever. Well, not forever. I think he said to the age of 135. It could heal you. It could exorcise demons, apparently.
Oh,
it could do a number of different things.
Quite the claim.
It was this sort of black tar-like looking oil. He actually gave it to someone, and 2 years later they died. It didn't work.
Related to it or...
No, I mean, not necessarily, but...
Unrelated. They're hit by a car. Unrelated causes.
If the thing is supposed to keep you alive, like, you know, for a long time, and you die 2 years later...
It didn't actively kill them. It just didn't keep them alive.
I mean, it could have... It's not necessarily... It's not poisonous, but it's not...
No. What if it was, like, carcinogenic? That'd be really funny. Whoopsie.
So there's an interesting story that I've heard about this stuff called Dippel's... Like I said, Dippel's oil. In that, apparently in World War II... they would use it or something similar to put in wells to stop the enemy from being able to drink from wells.
Oh.
Why would that stop the enemy drinking from the wells?
Oh, I should have mentioned this. It tasted and smelled absolutely abhorrent.
Oh, I thought it just meant it was like poison or something.
Oh, no, it's not poisonous. Because that would be against the Geneva Convention. It's technically chemical warfare.
Yeah.
Kind of. But also, it's not deadly. It just smells and tastes real bad.
Rank.
And so they would not drink the water and they'd get dehydrated.
That also stops you being able to drink the water.
You go to their,
in the enemy's wells.
Yeah, enemy's wells.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Not just your own wells in case they...
Specifically not your own wells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stock up on water, boys. Poison in the well.
Put in Dippel's oil in the well.
Dippel's oil in the well.
So now we filled up all of our wells with poison. Well, not with poison. Now we filled up all our wells with Dippel's oil. Now we just need to wait for the enemy to take us over and they'll be ever so thirsty.
Yes.
And another thing that kind of comes up, so you can kind of get that you're getting this picture of him being sort of a mad scientist here, or one would hope that you get a picture of him being a mad scientist here. Are you?
Well,
not too mad.
I'm getting a picture of him being just not that good at it. Yeah.
He was very intelligent and quite good at what he was well respected. He was thrown in prison for a few years, and I think the Queen of Denmark asked for him to be released sort of specifically.
Because he's doing alchemy.
Yeah, but he was very smart. He was also a doctor as well. He went and studied medicine, became a doctor. Apparently he was working with corpses. There's not really much sort of contemporary evidence for this. It seems that a lot of this came up afterwards, but he did write, you know, while he was alive, that he thought that you could transfer a soul from one body to another using a funnel.
A funnel?
I have no more information.
Funnel from where?
I don't know. I mean, the butt, I guess.
How would the soul be in the butt?
It's not in the butt, but like...
How does it actually transfer,
like, come out.
A soul's affected by gravity.
I don't...
How would it actually transfer through the funnel?
It's souls... You can make up any explanation you want, and that's perfectly fine. So why don't you tell me?
Yeah, Jem.
Souls have little tiny flippers on the end, and they just kick their way through the air.
But they're non-physical.
Not on our plane of existence. On some plane of existence, they're physical.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Physical is this plane of existence.
There could be another physical
You'd
plane
be
of existence.
You're terrible at making up excuses for things.
No.
Okay, look, why don't you tell us how souls work then?
I don't think they do.
We're making it up, Luke.
Please. Yes. Okay, why is the soul in the butt? It's the warmest place.
It is, yeah.
And souls love warm.
They love warm.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you put a tube up the butt and then you put a tube up another butt, the soul is just like, but you have to warm up the other butt. So it's even
osmosis.
Warmer. Mm. The soul is like, well, that's even warmer of a butt. So I'm going over there.
You have to make a warmer butt. Okay, that's much better than flippers.
But you need the tube. Otherwise, the soul might get lost on the way and will get cold on the way.
Yeah.
So you warm up the whole tube too. So that the whole tube
needs to be
warm.
A heated tube. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Good to know.
Much better. Well done.
So he had this idea to use a funnel to transfer a soul from one corpse to another. So there are some ideas that, you know, he was thinking that sort of Frankenstein-y, creating life from what is not life, you know?
Yes.
So as I said, he had quite an odd life. You know, he's, like I said, he made that sort of blue kind of by accident, it seems, not necessarily fully on purpose, basically just by mixing different sort of ingredients together. Apparently it was sort of made in 1704, but they didn't report it in the literature until 1711. So 7 years he sat on that Prussian blue till he gave it to the world. As I said, he went and became a doctor. So he's a full actual doctor, along with being an alchemist. So it's interesting that he was kind of working with science, specifically with his sort of medicine, and then also with alchemy. Because the view of it then was kind of, there wasn't quite a strict line, I guess, as there is now. I mean, interestingly, I think it wasn't until much later than you'd think, I think maybe the 18th, 19th century, that it was sort of fully proven that you can't chemically create gold from other metals, essentially. Mm. Other sort of elemental metals.
Yeah.
But you can.
Not chemically.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Squish them.
Squish them. Well, it depends how hard you squish, I suppose.
And that's because it's an element.
Yeah, because it's an element. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, even Isaac Newton worked on some alchemy, in a certain scientific way, to see whether these ideas could work or not. So even at that sort of time, it wasn't necessarily it wasn't so sort of looked down upon by science as it is today. Mm. Wherein if you go to a sort of say science convention and say, I do a little bit of alchemy every now and then, they're going to look at you like you're talking about astrology. Mm. You know. So Dippel was born in 1673 and, as I said, died in 1734. I just want to tell you a little bit of a story about his death, because apparently people think he might have been poisoned.
With his own Dipple's oil.
Well, no, because it's not poisonous.
Okay.
Just real not just tasty.
Let you live.
No. Yeah, it just doesn't make you live. And interestingly, not long after he sort of said, oh, this Dipple, I've got it might not have been Dipple's oil, it might have been something else. But he said, I've got this elixir that will extend my life to 135 years. Yeah, I can live 135 years old. He died about a year or two later after proclaiming this.
At 137. Wow. That oil.
How did he
even
do
better
it?
Than he thought it was. By the way, 135 years is a very specific claim.
I was thinking, because he's never done it. He's not done it yet. How does he know?
It's like he's making it up.
I don't know. Maybe there's some maths involved.
What, like the age of the zebra I put it in multiplied by the age of the dog I melted is the age you will live to.
How old was he when he claimed
this? They're very young animals, right?
Yeah.
Very young animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more life in them.
Like it's lamb.
That's why I only eat veal.
Yeah.
And caviar, actually. Mm-hmm. And eggs, obviously.
Eggs.
Obviously.
God, they've got the most life. They're not even born yet.
Exactly. So much life.
Wow.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Well, it depends when you get them. What stage?
So 1673 till 1734 is when he lived. And yeah, so he died, obviously, what was that, sort of 61
years?
Yeah, 61 years old. Wow. And
didn't even make it halfway. Loser.
A lot of contemporaries thought...
I've lost my oil. No, oh, no, I've run out. Oh, God.
So a lot of contemporaries thought that he was poisoned, but apparently he died of something like a stroke. We probably think it was probably a stroke, but it's quite a bit earlier than his projected death date of 1808. So maybe he was poisoned. Maybe they knew. Oh wow, he's gonna live so long.
No, he's too powerful. We need to get him.
Exactly.
It's too long to be claiming state benefits.
Yeah.
Dipple's oil can't protect against poison.
How does your pension last that long?
Yeah. So. There's really few sources on him, but one of the really good ones I found on PubMed, actually, it says this specifically, but many who knew him declared him to have been poisoned. This indicates, if nothing more, the conditions under which he lived and the dangers which threatened him throughout his life. Like I said, he was a bit of a mad scientist. He didn't, like, you know, he was fleeing different places every now and then, mostly because he was pissing people off. So the fact that everyone thinks he might have been poisoned, you know, at the time, just gives you a better idea of the kind of guy he is.
Not too out of the out of the realms of possibility if he's pissing loads of people off.
Yeah.
Because, like, have you ever been in hiding?
Well, a couple times, but a couple times.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
He also went to jail for 7 years, as I mentioned. You know, right. And then the Queen got him out. He was a very...
The Queen got him out.
I told you this, the Queen of Denmark.
Yeah.
He was the Queen of Denmark.
The Queen of Denmark got him out.
Right.
Okay. Of jail.
I told you, he was the Queen of Denmark.
Wait, why? I didn't question that too hard. Did she...
She loved that oil, man.
Did she know him?
She must have done. She just specifically requested to get him out. As I said, it's very difficult to find sources on this guy. I mean, one of the sources I've had to look at, which you'll find in the description, was written by a student about him. All the stuff there, luckily, corroborates with elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult finding sources on this guy. Because really, all people care about is that he seems to be the sort of inspiration for Frankenstein.
She can't like him too much if it took her 7 years to get him out.
Well, maybe she's
forgotten. That's how much Dipple's oil she had left.
Oh.
Queens could be very busy, Jemp.
I don't know, but if your queen's friend is in prison...
Well, it could be an acquaintance.
Yeah.
I feel like for a queen, getting someone out of jail is, you know, it's like such an easy thing. It's not something, you know, that you only do for your friends.
I'll get around to it.
Yeah, you know, you're like, oh, who was that guy that I ran into? I met him a while ago. Wonder what he's up to now. You check in on him.
Yeah.
He's in jail. You're like...
It's like she asked the butler. She was like, oh, where's that Dipple guy? I haven't heard from him in a while. Oh, he's in prison. Get him out.
I should get around to getting him out, shouldn't I?
Yes. You know. Maybe 2 Sundays from now.
Yeah. Busy this week.
Yeah.
He, as I said, there was the last thing I was going to say to you. It was him being the inspiration for Frankenstein. He obviously lived in Castle Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He was born there and he lived there for a period afterwards. And Mary Shelley apparently took a trip to a place near Castle Frankenstein and would have heard apparently the people there, could have heard the people there.
The crazy scientists living in Castle Frankenstein.
Oh. Yeah, there is a single source saying that she went to a place that was near the place that he lived. And so potentially could have been told stories of the crazy scientist that lived there.
Cool.
It's a very
scientific proof right there.
It's a very spurious connection.
Nope.
And there's also no evidence from Mary Shelley ever talking about this guy. So... I fully do not believe that he's the inspiration for Frankenstein, but I thought he was an interesting enough guy, you know, making his Dipple's oil, trying to be an alchemist, all of that stuff, going in and out of jail. So I thought I'd tell you about him. And that is it for today's episode.
That was very good. I'm so glad we learned about the real Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get back to the science next week, won't we?
We'll get Mary Shelley to court because she's clearly stolen the life of a man.
Get her on the pod.
Jemp, you can sort that one out, right?
Okay. I'll email her.
Yeah.
She's got an agent.
So now that the episode is more or less, you know, come to its conclusion, I feel like it's time for a quick fire quiz.
It's a quick fire quiz round. Bum, 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 bum. Halloween edition.
Oh dear God, that was long.
So the quickfire quiz is the same as every single week. I ask one question with the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finished asking the question wins. What do they win, Jemp?
A Halloween goodie bag.
Halloween cheer. Yeah. I don't have a single bag here.
Oh, you have me. I don't know.
So what are your buzzers first off? Luke, what is your buzzer?
Hundreds of volts traveling through Frankenstein.
Fantastic.
Monster.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, even better. Jeff,
it's like the real thing.
What is your buzzer?
It's alive! Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, fantastic. So, my question for you both is, what was the initial name for Prussian Blue?
Oh, it's alive! It's alive!
Luke, I think that was... that was you. Only because... you had an easier buzzer to get at quicker.
Yeah.
I think you thought of it at the same time.
Yeah. Jem had to take a breath first.
Yeah. Yes,
it was Berlin Blue.
That was it.
Ding, ding, ding. That is
hell
correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I've well done. For weeks. This is so exciting. Thank you to my parents and to Rebecca and to all of my friends.
Oh my God, please let it end.
Here is your Halloween cheer.
Well, go on then.
There it is. I just gave it
that
to you.
That wasn't a cheer.
No, I'm not cheering for you. It's the, you know, like Halloween spirit, your Halloween cheer.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
You don't seem very full of Halloween cheer, Luke.
I'm not. Well, maybe I am. Maybe this is the Halloween cheer.
Which made you feel
generally
worse.
It's about as cheery as Halloween gets. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty spooky. We hope you all have a fantastic Halloween or had a fantastic Halloween.
Depending on whether on YouTube or the podcast app.
Well, if they're on YouTube, you hope they had a great Halloween.
We hope they're having a great Halloween because it comes out on Halloween. But if they're listening on a podcast app, Halloween was yesterday.
What if they're watching on YouTube, but not when it first came out?
Well, then we also wish that you had a good Halloween. If you're watching the premiere, we hope you have you're having a good Halloween.
But if they're watching a podcast,
I've got it. Happy Hanukkah. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Ashley Miller and Finn TZ. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday and why not leave us a nice wee comment. You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or you can find a contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is where we are right now. Or you can find us at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or
send us an email.
Send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jemkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.